Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
A safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Welcome, everybody, to this 11th of March, 2018. Oh, just turned daylight saving time here in the United States on the East Coast, and I am in Collingswood, New Jersey, just across the Delaware River from the city of Philadelphia and a few miles from the lovely city of Camden, New Jersey. Welcome to my show tonight. This episode of An Emerging Forest. If you are so inclined, please call in. This show is broadcast live, and you can be on the air, and you can talk to me, and all that good stuff. The number to call is 646-564-9714. For the last bunch of years, the last 10 years, as you'll know, or maybe you're new to the show, so I'll just give a short intro. I've been considering society from a different perspective. The first thing I thought about coming out of the defense industry was I was introduced to some ideas about, okay, this is who royalty really is, sort of the reptilian theories and other things like that. And I wanted to get something a little bit more quantitative coming from a chemistry science background. And so I reached out for the money system because I'd heard that there was some finagling going on in the money system. And I learned a lot about the money system. And I continue to learn a lot about the money system to today. And that sort of started to peel away some of the unreality or the dual reality or the management system telling the folks who were educated to believe a certain way, and then managing the system very nicely with that facade, that illusion of financial status quo and progress and all that stuff. And in that time frame, one of the triggers or some of my lifelong triggers have been having parents, both of whom had cancer, and just being curious and then starting to understand nutrition and the illusion of medical care and what medical care is about. And then the overarching management system, which is a fear-based management system. It's a scarcity-based management system. You have to fight to get enough for yourself instead of just looking at the system and saying, hey, if we actually promoted fertility, there would be way more than enough for everyone. There would be so much that no one would be, that the poorest person would be poor by choice, and they would be richer than any of the rich people that we call so-called rich people. So what's going on here is an experience. It's a voluntary adventure. No one is being victimized. No one is being harmed. It's an adventure. So that's what we're doing. And I'm in the adventure. I'm a player in the adventure. And I'm sort of looking around saying, hey, this is an adventure. And then for some reason, something will occur to me and I'll start pulling on that thread. I'll start saying, hey, is that a thread? Can I pull on that? Where does it lead me? And as I just summarized, I summarized two of the threads, the medical nutrition, body function area, and the financial banking sector area are some threads. And an idea was given to me somewhat recently about how the earth really isn't mountains that were thrust up. It's actually a big slag mining heap where all the value has been stripped from it, and we're sort of at the bottom. All of the good stuff has been stripped and shipped away, and what we think are mountains that were thrust up are actually tops of or the bottom of what used to be very, very fertile areas. And it's actually, you know, the big scoop miners with big conveyor belts came along and carved all these things rather than they being thrust up. So it's just another perspective, and it really doesn't matter which one you believe, but here's my story, here's what I'm pulling on, here's how I'm exploring, and here's how I'm having my adventure. So with that in mind, with that sort of that backdrop in mind, and reading some comments on a YouTube channel that I really like, QNFEE, he was talking about history being much shorter, and also history being much different in reality, and all of the various things that are pointed to and called history are actually recent installations, and that, you know, maybe we don't quite understand, you know, we've been told a story, but is that story true? And so I started thinking about language, and since he's saying, okay, there's really one culture, I started saying, okay, I'm going to test this. I'm going to make the hypothesis coming from what he's thinking about, that there's one language. And just like if you look at wolves and then you look at Canis lupus domesticus in all the various shapes and sizes, you can say, okay, that came from a wolf. That's the story we're told, that all of those are variations on a theme. That, and then you look at domesticated animals, domesticated cows, sheep, goats, chickens, etc., etc. And you're looking at them and you're like, wow, there's all different shapes and sizes, and there's all different shapes and sizes of dogs. And they were certainly created, quote unquote, for the amusement of royalty, or for the amusement of someone. They were created, and they were created using, you know, force. They were created by breeding and breeding for a long time and doing certain things to make sure that the outcome was a certain way. So I started looking and saying, well, how about all these races? Are they races, or are they just variations that were made by someone for someone's amusement? But also not for someone's amusement, but each dog, of course, is in a different variation, because it's having an adventure. So each person is in a different variation, a different race, a different dialect, a different language, a different mindset. because they're receiving a service. They're going through an experience and they're expanding their repertoire of skills using each one of these vehicles, cars, whatever, suits of flesh, societies in which to have an adventure, to actually have the experience that they need in order to build their soul. That's the only reason any of this exists. It is your adventure. You are taking part in it voluntarily for your betterment, and that's the way I view things. Maybe you don't think that way, but that's the way I view things. So I took the perspective, okay, what can I pull on? And I said, okay, what are some of the core ideas of our society? What are some of the really basic, so let's go into the body, let's go into yoga, let's go into martial arts, let's go into the soul, consideration of the soul, let's go into mysticism, let's go into holiness, and look at some of the, like, the core idea, and the or core idea is the soul, and the core idea is expansion of the soul, the core idea is the energy and the focus of the energy. Well, what's the words or word that's used for that? And that's where the title of tonight's episode comes from, Key to Language. Well, key is, in martial arts, is something that you focus. It's an exercise that you do, and I am by no means any type of expert. I am the worst neophyte or the most unknowledgeable neophyte in martial arts. I've taken a few classes, and that's it. So I don't have any technical knowledge in the area. Neither am I a linguist. But I can figure stuff out. And so there's key is, or chi is written many different ways and has many different expressions in all languages. But what I'm going to motivate to you tonight is that Qigong, which can be written Q-I or C-H-I, is that same energy that can also be written K-I, or can also be written X-I. So we have this key, or this first universal phrase that I'm pointing to, and I'm saying it's energy, it's the soul, it's the focused energy, it's something that you manipulate, and it's different spellings. Now, it's different spellings altogether in other languages, but it's the same idea. It's the idea of ki. It's the idea of life energy. So when I was looking at this, and initially looking in Chinese, the original capital, or one of the earlier capitals of China, was Xian, or Xian. And I'm not sure how to pronounce all these things correctly, but it was actually energy A-N. Of course, that's a bastardized, you know, English, Arabic alphabet spelling of a Chinese phrase. So it's Xian. But if you also look at X-I, you can have X-I-A-O-L-I-N. And that's pronounced or better known in the West as Shaolin. So X-I-A-N is Shan. And now you begin to see that X-I has a Shia pronunciation, and you start getting into something that we would associate with she in the West, something you would associate with the feminine in the West. So I started to look at this, and once I started to look at this and I started to incorporate this, okay, I want to think about this, I started thinking about qi, and I started thinking about, okay, all of the words that are as a result of qi. And right away, you run into the phrase Chinese. Well, is that a phrase that means, that has some meaning, or is it a marketing phrase? Of the qi, or qi-ish, Chinese, what does that mean? Is it just a sound, or it's a marketing phrase that means, oh, hey, we've got these folks over here, they're this variety, we need to call them something, so we call everything by a bunch of set marketing phrases, and we arrange them so that we can evoke a certain feeling about a certain group from their phrase. And so let's call these folks of the energy. Let's call them Chinese. Their original capital, as I said, was X-I-A-N, so it's very natural that they would be of the original capital's name, which was X-I-A-N. They would be of that capital, so they're X-I-N-A's, or X-I-A, you know, Chinese. That was my initial looking around, and then I... You just start to, or how I do things is I say, okay, does that make sense? And I just walk through my life encountering things and saying, okay, does that work? Does that fit? And I've only just started this practice. So maybe 18 months from now, I'll be a little bit more mature in this practice. But this practice has borne fruit for me. So I thought that I would talk about it a little bit tonight. So I was, you know, I go to the gym a few times a week with a friend, and we go into the gym, and she said, hey, can I stop by the supermarket on the way home and grab myself some food for a few meals? And so she goes in, and we go back to the department, and I look over, and there's a big sign saying rotisserie chicken. And you know, the word hadn't, you know, I mean, it's just commonplace word. Chicken's a commonplace word. And I hadn't thought about it in a while, but now I have a new, toy, or I have a new metric, or I have a new algorithm running behind my eyeballs that thinks, you know, that pulls everything through it, you know, as new, and it doesn't encounter something and say, oh, I'm assuming that's a such and such. It actually says, oh, how does that compare to all of the little metrics? So you look at chicken, and you've got chi, of course, that's the first thing you see. And then you see ken. Well, ken is understanding or sight or wisdom about an issue. So it's sort of, okay, we've just taken a word apart. Well, that's a really common word. It's been applied to a bird, but what does it mean? Does chicken mean anything about a bird? Or is chicken just a marketing phrase, just something that's made up and associated with the bird? Well, I think that it's definitely an interesting idea that it would just be qi and ken, And hey, we want people to like this, so we want people to think that it's energizing and wisdom bringing. And we want to market this as something that, you know, is really, you know, something that you should put on your table. So we'll call it chicken. So this is sort of just, you know, my experience. I'm not saying, you know, how other people experience things or how other people, you know, unravel reality or anything like that. So you can think about other things that are similar to that. You can think of chia seeds, or you can think of kids beginning with K-I. You can think of children beginning with C-H-I. Think of all of the words that begin with K-I, kinder, kinder. You know, in German it's kinder, and in English it's kind and kinder. And then there's kindergarten, and all of these words are all these words have this peace in them. And what I'm coming back to is this a real language that came from someplace, or is this a bunch of, hey, let's build a language and let's make everybody feel energized about using the language, and they'll, you know, after a few generations, they'll associate certain words and they'll just think it's natural that it means that, when it absolutely has really no meaning at all. It's just a bunch of grunting. So you get further along in this and you just start encountering words. And the other day I was just walking along and thinking about, you know, just about nothing. And I encountered, you know, I looked up in the air and I thought of the word sky. And then you think of, okay, the word sky, and you think of the word ski, and you say, okay, that's got K-I in it, and then it's got an S in it. That's interesting. It's got one of my triggering phrases or triggering strings in it, the K-I part, but what am I supposed to make out of that? Well, the thing that I made out of that was I thought about the entire language set that ends in SKI. And I'm not an expert, and I really hope I'm, I don't want to say, hey, I'm a linguist and I know what I'm talking about. I want to say, hey, I'm some ignorant person, but I still think I know what I'm talking about. So when you look at a name that's like the movie title, Lebowski, is that Lebows or Lebows, S-K-I, you know, Lebows key, talking about that particular person's name. And then if we're going to take the alphabets apart even further and say, what does L-E-B-O-W mean, and take it apart and say, okay, is that really elbow, or is that L-E as in the, and then bow, as in, is it the bow's key, or something like that. So what I'm further breaking that down and saying is, to me, like it's a distinct language. It looks to me like it's something that is talking about the possessive of someone's key, someone's energy, someone's focus. It doesn't look like, you know, you could say Polanski. Well, Poland's key. And it's just an interesting notion or an interesting thing that I'm following up and just seeing, you know, what I get out of it and what falls apart, what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. It's an application of common sense. and an application of, I don't know whether you would call it independent thinking or whatever, but it's something that's interesting to me, and it's something that I do because it's changing my perspective is something that I'm interested in doing. And it just doesn't serve me to continue to believe things that I've proven to myself are nonsense. So I continue to try to pull on things that don't make any sense, or if I find things that don't make any sense, I start pulling on them and see where they lead. And this is a really good time for, and the song that I'm playing is Darv the Bard, Green and Gray. See you in a few minutes.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil. Dominion over this land. bill comes from your hand. The piper said if evil is where it lies in the hearts of man. But you lead us, oh you tempt us, to rape, to steal, to kill. The piper said whatever happened to free will. Then the grove lay empty, the priest told no one. The blossom lay upon the thorn and the piper's tune was done. And in the sunlit forest, the animals they bowed. As the piper laid his goddess down. For I'm no devil, I'm fallen.
To International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to An Emerging Forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. And now, back to Alan.
Well, thanks for joining me after the break. And we were talking about keys to language. And we were talking about KI and XI and QI and CHI and their association with the focused energy. And I also mentioned chicken with Ken, with Ken being the understanding or the wisdom or your ability to grasp a concept, something like that, your understandable ability to say, that's interesting, or see where something leads. And there's other words, words that are very similar to that, and you can think of ka being your soul or your ka or your spirit. Well, that's very similar to your focused energy. Maybe it's, you know, your soul is something that's more deep than your ki, which may be an outpouring of somewhat measurable energy from your focus of your soul. So if you have ki and you have ka, you can understand that you can have things that bring those two together. And one of the phrases that brings that together is a very simple phrase. It's Kit Kat or Kitty Cat. And you can think, okay, that's interesting. So Kitty Cat is, you know, a bouncy little furball, a domesticated wild cat. And common house cat, very, you know, lovable creature, very much a cat person. But where does their name come from? It comes from K-I and K-A, meaning soul and energy, energetic soul, or sort of, is it made up, or is it just a marketing phrase, or did it actually come from someone sitting there saying, hey, these folks are energized when they talk about their tea, and if we use something that's energized to call something, they'll be more interested in using that or taking it home or buying it or having it in their home or something like that. And then the same thing goes for the candy bar, Kit Kat, is that marketing again? Well, of course it is. It's, you know, somebody said, well, what do we want to call that? And they're not calling it a certain sound set by mistake. They're calling it because they know something about that sound set and how it affects us and how generationally we've been built to be attracted to certain sounds and certain lights and certain colors and certain vibrations. It's all about vibration. It's all about how it's attractive or not attractive to people. So this is an interesting idea of these different phrases, and I'm only playing with one phrase tonight, or one soul related type of sound or soul related type of meaning, but a sound of a certain type. But Chikiqixi also going into the Xiaolin type of pronunciation or flow or sound. The very wide variety of sounds that sort of come from the same meaning or have the same root in meaning. And I really think that type of meaning is where the power or some of the power of these things come from. So I was further exploring this, and as I said, earlier, I continue to explore this, and I really have a hard time when I'm like cooking dinner or turned around at the sink washing dishes. I kind of have to hold on to the countertop when I get this connection of meaning, like when I see Polanski or when I see Romanowski or when I see something like that, and I'm like, oh, this is big. This is, you know, this is a big collapse for me as far as meaning. And so, you know, are we seeing marketing phrases? I'm not sure. And so what I was, you know, encountering or thinking about the other day is I was thinking about, well, what about popular music? And what about not recent music per se, but what about classical music? It was that all, what part of that was marketing, or what part of that can I take apart at all? And I saw a phrase, I saw a person's name who I was brought up, and my father was very much into classical music, and I saw this name again, and the name is Tchaikovsky. And, well, it ends with SKI, which is in the borders of tonight's show, is Tchaikov's He, but then it also begins with Chai. It also begins with T-C-H-I. So it's a compound usage of key. It's a compound, it's a double usage of, or double sounded name with key in two places. So that was very interesting to me. And this is just a process. This is a thought process. And it's a discovery process. And will I be able to bring other words in? Will I be able to say, oh, that other phrase over there is this? Well, I've already sort of done that with Ken. And so literally when I was getting ready to do this show, I was chatting via Facebook with someone, and I was, lining up my CH or and et cetera words to talk about tonight. And I wrote out, I basically typed in or thought in my mind of the word chemistry. And of course, I'm a chemist. And I thought of it again, and it's not CHI, but it's the same sound. It's ke or ka or ka or she. It's the same ke sound. And then it was sort of like, oh, okay, big deal. It doesn't really fall apart into anything. I might be reaching too far. And then I thought about what it says. It says C-H-E, and then it says, if you remove the C-H-E, it says, mystery. So it's literally chemistry. And then if you put the ke at the end and you say mystery of the ke, mystery of the chi, mystery of ke, of ka, mystery of whatever, mystery of the soul. So chemistry is just the mystery of energy, or just the mystery of the soul. It's the adventure that we're on. It's another word that's actually just, hey, we're on the journey. This is just a part of the journey. It's part of the mystery of the all. And so chemistry doesn't mean chemistry to me anymore. It's just a made-up word. And I literally figured that out at the beginning of this show and during talking. I'm writing it down and just looking at it and saying, this is certainly taking me back, because I started getting interested in chemistry as a junior, was a junior in high school. And I was probably, I think I was interested in, little chemistry sets way before that, because my father was a, I mean, he I can't remember when my father gave me my first molecular modeling kit. And he had these large biological molecules that he built out of a big plastic, you know, connected with these little rubber stud sets, and I don't have the set name right in my head. What this forces me to do is it forces me to rethink how this is all structured and, you know, what we're really doing here. And it really, it's like meeting yourself or being rolled in a rolling pin. You sort of lose your identity because you see that the thing that you structured your identity inside of really isn't meaningful or as meaningful as you thought it was. It's actually a bunch of words that don't mean what you thought they did. They're sort of nonsense-y or sort of one size fits all. Hey, that's she, whatchamacallit, whatever, that's a chi-ten, that's a chemistry, that's a chemical reaction. And, you know, chemical, people are like, oh, I know what you mean. Well, then you say, nickel care, and you try to dig deeper into the meaning, and it falls apart, and it slips through your finger. It doesn't have any meaning anymore. But the grunting and shaking your head, chemical or chemistry, that means something. But the root of it doesn't really mean anything. It just means marketing of connected to a field that deals with acids and bases and gases and liquids and solids and their interaction. So this is the topic that I wanted to talk about. I've been thinking about this pretty seriously in a fledgling type of way, and it's borne some fruit for me, and it's interesting. So I wanted to talk about it tonight, and I also want to talk about my produce club, because my produce club became 2 years old on March the 1st, had its second year of being in operation. And because I'm moving, I'm negotiating with a place to actually house the produce club, and the folks who are going to hopefully house it are really enthusiastic, and we're basically setting the ground rules for how I'll use the garage, which happens to be the incubator of a successful mold remediation and restoration business in my area. So I'm really psyched about that. And I was able to, I sort of had a hit and miss market this week, where I did get to go to the early morning market, which is one I don't commonly get to go to, but my communications with my later market wasn't what I needed to actually make a purchase there. And it was the case that I'm reliant on other people, and it's sort of like, okay, I can pull a Superman, but how many times can I implore someone else to pull a Superman with me? And I'm really psyched about it, and I'll go, but then, okay, how many hours is this going to take me to actually go pull a Superman when I'm late on a delivery information in? And on the other end, when will that put me back home, and will I be able to get deliveries out? So I kind of did a cost-benefit analysis in my head, and decided not to go for it. And I think that was a wise move. Tomorrow I'm going to travel close to the area of Bluebell, Pennsylvania, and do some house cleaning. And I've been privileged to learn more about how to do house cleaning from a mentor who's helping me up there, as well as actually help some folks who are really in need of some good old-fashioned hard work, which is what I do for them, 4 to 5 hours for traveling to see them. And then this week will just flow naturally with some more hard work of me sorting out my things here and deciding what I'm going to keep and what I'm not going to keep, and more negotiations, and hopefully getting closer to an agreement, because I need to be moving on from here by the April 1st. I actually need to be gone before April the 1st. So I'm going to be making endeavors to do that. And it's very interesting because many other things are collapsing and reforming, and so is my place of residence, and so is the place of residence of my business. So that's all very as within, less without, where there is no inside and there is no outside. Thank you all so much for listening to me. My name again is Alan Ritter, and I run a small produce co-op in the southern New Jersey area and the southeast Pennsylvania area. We source our produce from the Philadelphia Regional Produce Market, and in particular, the supplier that we use the most of the time is Percacci Brothers Sales Corporation, a wonderful group of people who have been every shade of professional and courteous to me, and just make my business possible. I'm a very small business, and they help me by sending me their odd lot list or their items that need to move list that they are even further discounting, AKA their seconds list, so that I can create the business that I've created to make use of the inefficiencies of the Port of Philadelphia, to change people's lifestyles, to allow them access to foods and quantities and at quality levels that they would not have had access to otherwise, to be able to give them 30, 40, 50% off cucumbers and Granny Smith apples and regular apples and oranges and mangoes and lettuces and other types of greens. And just to be able to eat more of that, because we get to the end of our week, we have a certain number of dollars in our pocket when we go to the grocery store. And it's pretty stressful because you say, hey, I'd rather, you know, buy a lot more of this produce, but I can't, and then I have to put something on the table. So I'm over here in this stuff that I'd rather not buy as much as I do, but I'm kind of forced to because I need to eat a certain number of calories. So that's what I do. As always, I encourage everyone to have the adventure that you want to have, to look at life as skill building, to look at life as a long-term proposition, not as a short-term proposition, because there's some things that you just do naturally that you just, like, once you became aware of yourself or once you were more self-directed, you immediately started doing those things, and you started doing those things better than anyone else. Well, my thought on that is at one point you didn't have any skill in that. And you put a lot of effort into getting the way you just naturally started doing that. Well, that didn't happen in this segment of your adventure. My thought is that it happened in the previous segment of your adventure, and you've had lots and lots of previous segments of the adventure in which you were constantly focusing on that. And way back in the past, you were just like everybody else. You were terrible at it, but you put a lot of effort into getting better at it. And that's what this lifespan is about. This lifespan is about doing what you need to do to raise the funds, to have the quote-unquote spare time to do those things that you're good at, and to do those things that you're also not good at, and to raise your skill levels. So basically looking out on the dance floor and seeing all of these unbelievable number of squares of which there are skill sets, and saying, I want to work on that one, I want to work on that one, or I want to work on 10 of them, or I want to work on one exclusively, or I want to find out where my edges are, I want to find out where I left off here, and I want to continue, and I want to move on with my skills in the various areas. And it's a slow process. It's a long process. It's not being afraid of pushing yourself to the limit and possibly expiring, possibly transitioning out of this body because you're exploring a skill. Because, from my perspective, you're going to have another life and you're going to work on your skills. So don't be rushed by society, which is saying, ooh, you got to get this done like today. Oh, you're only going to be fertile for this many years. Well, maybe fertility is not the thing that you're here to deal with. Maybe you're here to deal with some other skill set, and a partner isn't a partner, and children, which is programming from the society, might not be what you're here for. So you might not have those things, and you'll be longing for them. I speak from experience, but you're not supposed to have them because that's not what you're doing here. You're doing other things. You're doing other skills. Thank you for listening. This is an episode of An Emerging Forest heard on Spiritual Unity Radio Network every Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And my name is Alan Ritter, and you can contact me at RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. And I hope you enjoyed my little introduction of keys to language. I hope it was perspective changing or of interest. Drop me a line. Tell me what you think. I also have a service of produce in the southeastern Pennsylvania and southern New Jersey area, and that's on Facebook. You can find that page at Produce Club, all one word, PRODUCECLUB.US, and that'll take you by a link directly to a Facebook page. It is a closed page. And if you are not in the area, I will direct you to our Americas page. But once again, you have my email address, so drop me a line there and we'll chat. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great week. Explore your edges. Find your passions. And have a blast. Goodbye.
For listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.